involved. You can't sit in church and not be a part. You've got to take a part of your service. So I encourage you to do that. Every single week that you stand, you are standing because God saw it fit to keep you up on your feet, up with breath in your lungs. He loves you, and whatever you came in here with, whatever the problem could be, whatever the adversity could be, God has already figured that out. He's already worked it out. What you've got to do is stand there and stand in faith. The Word says when you've done everything that you can do, then just stand. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you right now for every person. God, for the things that we don't understand, Lord, I thank you, God, that you understand them completely. Lord, right now I speak to addiction in this place, and I bind it up right now in the name of Jesus. God, you said in your word that you needed a binder and that you needed a looser. So, Lord, right now I loose recovery right now in this place in Jesus' name. For every person, Lord, with a diagnosis that they don't want on their body, God, I commit those things to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak a healing to begin to go into the bodies of your children right now. I speak to depression, and I bind it up right now in Jesus' name. I speak to anxiety right now in Jesus' name. Lord, and I thank you for the peace that's coming. I thank you for mental health, God, as it flows through your kids right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I am going to go over a few announcements, but I encourage you to look very thoroughly in your bulletin because it is full of about 3 weeks' worth of things that you can get involved in. The first announcement that I'll make this morning is the fact that we will not have church this evening, and we will not have church this coming Wednesday. Please look in your bulletin there. There is lots and lots of things. Tomorrow, we are having our senior citizen meals. On Friday, we are going to transform this sanctuary into an assembly line where we are going to pack around 316 boxes for the elderly, and we are going to need about 25 volunteers. We need your help. And if you can do that, that is going to be Friday morning here at the church in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. If you can come and volunteer, please see Miss Sherry. And we would love to have you here. We got to have help to fill those boxes. That usually takes around 2 hours. It doesn't take long. Once we get in a good flow, it will go very, very smoothly. Now, Santa is going to be here next Sunday. If you have children, bring them because Santa's going to be here, okay? Also, our annual ugly Christmas cute, whatever you want to call it, if you want to be ugly that day, then fine with your outfit, not your attitude, okay? But we are going to have our Christmas outfit contest. That's going to be this coming Sunday morning. We will have prizes for that. It's always fun. It's like a competition. Santa will be there. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be good. The rest of that, y'all can read the bulletin for yourself. Amen? That's why I make them for y'all. Go with me this morning to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 18. How many of you love this manger scene? It is beautiful. I have always wanted the church to have one, and Lisa found one for us and gave it to us, and I am really grateful because I think that Christmas is something that people have gotten so far away from the meaning of what it actually is. It's so sad. We are so concerned with, did we buy enough? Did we do enough? And what we need to focus on is the fact that Jesus did enough for you for the rest of your life. But this morning, I want to focus on someone in the Christmas story that does not get a lot of attention most of the time, and that is Joseph. That is Joseph. And so we are going to speak this morning on him. And the Bible will come alive to you if you ask God, Lord, open up my understanding and help me to understand what your word is saying to me. A lot of folks will say, oh, the Bible's outdated, or, oh, well, you know, there's problems that the Bible doesn't address. There is not one problem that the Bible does not address. There is nothing new under the sun. Every single problem is covered in the Word of God. The Word said in the Psalms, Lord, your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you have the Word in your heart, it's going to be harder for you to sin because the Word and the Holy Spirit will convict you and tell you, uh-uh. No, we don't need to do that. You and all your personalities, no, that's not a good thing for you to do. And I hope you understand that I believe everybody has at least five personalities. And I've come to that conclusion after years of watching people and working with people. Now, Frank is real lucky. I got about 15. Sometimes when I get real heated, he'll say, no, I don't like number 13. But we're going to look at Joseph this morning. And in the Word of God, you will see them, and they outline the genealogy of people. They want you to know whose daddy was this one and whose daddy was that one and all of the things. And a lot of times, we see that as very boring, and we skip over it. And I do, too. But it has its place, and it's good for you to understand certain things of where these people came from. It will help you to understand why things were the way that they were. But Jesus was a descendant of David, and only a descendant of David could actually be the king of the Jews. So go with me to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 18. And one of the things, I have two boys. I have a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old. And one of my things that I'm very big on is the word empathy. And I'm always trying to get my children to be able to be empathetic. Because what I see in society is people's inability to put their self in someone else's shoes and to relate to them. We see that all over. And I will tell you, parents, that whatever you don't want your children to do, you need to not do it either. Amen? Because kids will see right through all of your nonsense and all of your stuff. So if you're doing something that you wouldn't want them to do, I encourage you to stop because you'll be setting a bad example for them. Amen? So empathy is simply the ability to understand and share someone else's feelings or experiences by imagining yourself in their situation. So we're going to talk about Joseph today, and Joseph is extremely relative to us. There's a lot of knowledge and wisdom in how he carried himself. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Anytime something is going on in your life, many times we will sit back and we'll look at a problem that we're going through and we will say to ourselves, how did this even happen? I always try to go back and look and get to the last place where something was right and then retrace my steps and how in the world it got wrong. Well, the Word of God, it wants you to understand how Jesus came about. For every atheist on the planet, one of these days, what they're going to have to reckon with is there is a name above every single name, and at the name of Jesus Christ, every single knee is going to bow down, and every single tongue is going to confess. And it didn't matter if they believed in Christ here on this earth or not. When we get to heaven, that is exactly what's going to happen. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue will confess. He is the Lord. And for every atheist, their main thing was, well, how was all this created? Let me tell you something. Creator God. And that is why in the book of Genesis in chapter 1, it says, and God created. See, we didn't just get here by evolution. We didn't get here by all the goofy ways that the science tries to tell us that we got here. No, somebody created us, and not only did he create us, but the Word says that he created us in his image. We are the only creation that he made like him. That's how much that God thinks of his children. And it says, so this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, before Joseph and Mary ever got together, they were pledged to be together. It was a known thing. These two are going to marry each other. They're going to be with each other. And before that came about, Mary was with child. Now, that was God's will for Mary. And sometimes the will of God in your life, people are not going to understand it. I believe that sometimes in people's lives, the will of God at times can make them look bad because people are going to judge what they don't understand. In this day, in this age, it was not a good thing for someone to be pregnant before they got married. And I want to say from the pulpit, and I will not get brownie points for this, but I'm going to keep this real. It still isn't God's best. When you decide to have a child, you better decide that you're going to be second for the very rest of your life. And until you're ready to be that mature, you don't need to have children. Amen? Now, we're not going to get off on that soapbox. But I am going to add little tidbits in here because these are called life lessons, life things that everybody needs to know. And because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, my question is there anybody righteous? A lot of us care about being right. But are you righteous? There's a lot of times where Christians see things, and the first thing we want to do is judge something off of the appearance when we don't know anything that's going on with that person. And here was Mary. She was pledged to Joseph. The Word really gives us a very good description. It says that she found herself with child through the Holy Spirit. That's why I say there's times where the will of God for your life could make you look bad because people aren't going to understand what God's doing in your life. And they're going to judge you off of what they don't understand. And it says, but because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. That's a lot to unpack right there. Because so many times, we want to just expose people for what we think that they are. We want to expose people for what we think that they are. And the Word says that Joseph, let me get him. Joseph, because he was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. That says a lot about him. He could have just made her look really awful. I seen a post the other day, and I'm going to tell you, just because I'm a pastor and just because I'm saved doesn't mean I don't want to get up in the Facebook drama, because there are some days I want to get up in the thick of it because I have opinions. And they don't go away just because you're saved. Now, I'm going to explain something to you. Just because you have an opinion about something doesn't mean that you need to open your mouth up and share your opinions. Is there a time and a place for your opinions? Yes, there is. There are very few, I will add. Somebody screenshot a picture of Erica Kirk, and they were making fun of her because of the way that she cried. They didn't feel it was sincere. She wasn't grieving the way that she should. Shame on people for doing that. May we never find ourselves in the position that she's in. And, oh, I wanted to get on there and tell it. And Tanya, I wanted to point out a few things about these people that were blasting her. And I had to make myself not do that. The problem in today's world is there are very few Josephs, because most people want to expose someone to public disgrace on a regular basis. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning that is hard for people to do, because a lot of people are very selfish and they care only about themselves. But we're going to pretend that these are the shoes of Joseph. And I'm going to ask you to do something that I believe is very difficult for people to do. And I'm going to ask you to have empathy, because if you can understand Joseph, you can really understand Jesus, because Jesus, this one shoe ain't wanting to come off. Now, these are Joseph's shoes. When you read the Bible, I know I just stopped looking so fabulous. When you read the Bible, I always thought the Bible was the most boring thing. I'm gonna keep that real with you. We got up every morning at 5:30 when I was growing up, and we read the Bible. And many times in my childhood at night, my parents would play the Bible. And I just thought, oh my gosh, my parents are completely bonkers. And something happened to me, though. I'm going to tell you what. You put the Word of God in your kids, because when they are older, they're not going to depart from certain things. And I'm going to tell you the honest to God truth. There are times in my life that when it mattered most, the Word of God was inside of me from all of that foundation that they had put inside of me. And when life got very difficult, it was the Word that came out and helped to guide me through the very difficult parts of adolescence, through young adulthood, through even now to this day. Well, how did I get that much Word in me? They put it in me every single day of every day of my childhood. And when you get up from out from your mama and daddy's roof, it's up to you to continue to put the Word of God in you. Because in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. You're not going to do much living if it's outside of Christ, because at some point, all of your decisions will catch up with you. But here's Joseph. He did not want to publicly disgrace her. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Now put yourself in his shoes. Put yourself in his shoes. Here you are. You're going to marry Mary. How many of you, when you're going to marry somebody, you want to hear that they are already pregnant and it ain't your kid? That's always great news, isn't it? See, that's some Jerry Springer stuff, and that'll help you relate. Here's Joseph. And we're here. And he's, can you imagine the amount of dignity that it would take to still say to yourself, I don't want to hurt Mary and I don't want to publicly disgrace her. So I'm going to not be with her, but I'm going to do that in a quiet manner so I don't hurt her in any way. Most of us would be like, Mary is a such and such and a such and such, and I'm not marrying her, and I don't want anybody else in the town to date her because she's a such and such and a such and such. Well, as I said, there's not a lot of Josephs in the world. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all, above everything, above having the last word, above winning the argument, above defending yourself, a lot of times we publicly disgrace others by just defending ourselves. Here's what I've learned. God will defend you. And if God could shut the mouths of the lions for Daniel, he can shut any enemy's mouth that you need. He can shut them all up. And most of the time, the trouble that God has is shutting us up, making us be quiet and making us hold our peace. Above all, love each other deeply. Love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Let's look at that in the CEV version now. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Most important of all, you must sincerely, I love the adjectives that the Bible uses, because a lot of times we can be very fake. This society is so fake, it's terrible. And sometimes I can be fake. The other day, God had me in the coffee shop telling my enemy that I was real happy that they were all doing well. And I was like, Lord, I'd really like them to suffer for what they did. I mean, now you're telling me to tell them it's well? You're great. Okay. They call me Pastor Real Deal, and you seriously want me to lie about that? Okay. Most important of all, you must sincerely love each other, because love wipes away many sins. See, Joseph, at this point, he didn't know that Mary was with child because of the Holy Spirit. He just knew that she was with child. And even in that scenario, he says to himself, I am not going to publicly expose her. There is something to be said about that type of person. God can use somebody like that because they care more about loving someone in the middle of their disaster than publicly calling them out on it. Most people want to just expose everybody. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Go with me now to Mark chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 29 through 31. Here's Jesus, and someone asked him, what is the most important commandment? Mark chapter 12, verse 29. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. The second one. love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Love your neighbor as yourself. Many times there are two types of people. There are the people that they don't love themselves. They can love everybody else besides themselves, but they have trouble loving themselves for whatever it is that they've done, that they're ashamed of, that they feel like is still hanging over their head. And then there's the people that love themselves and they don't have nothing for nobody else. It's just all about them. But the Word tells us to do both. The Word tells us, love your neighbor as yourself. Love yourself, but also love your neighbor. Love them. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to pick up where we left off. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Here's Joseph. He had his mind made up. He was going to divorce her quietly, wasn't going to be with her. And it says, but after he considered this, after he considered it, after he prayed about it, after he meditated on it, after he gave it some thought, there are life-changing decisions that need more than a split second of your time in order for you to make the right one. Sometimes the bad decision was made because you never considered anything. You didn't pray about it. You didn't meditate over it. You didn't give it any time. There's certain things, even right now, Jeff, I'm like, decisions have to be made, but I don't have clarity and God hasn't spoken to me what the decision is. So guess what? I'm not going to do anything about them. They're going to sit there until I hear from God on what to do about them. The Word says he considered. After he considered. One of the worst decisions I ever made was when I decided, how many of you ever bought something on the spur of the moment and you just regretted it? I hate those decisions because then you get to live with them. And then you probably have to pay for them too after that. How many of you ever paid for a bad decision, literally paid for it, and you're like, oh, my gosh. I am very into I'm going to try to say this as politically correct as I can. I am very much into women being independent, self-sufficient, all of the things. I am all of those things. Here's what I also believe in. There's a certain order that God spells out in his Word. And this is why it's so important to not marry the first idiot that makes you smile or laugh. Because there's lots of idiots out there. And the beauty of not women. I'm going to talk to you for a minute. The beauty of not marrying an idiot is that you can follow that person. They need to most certainly be a Christian person. If you're a Christian, you have no business marrying or dating someone that is unsaved. I'm going to say it again. If you are a believer and you are dating, you got no business dating somebody that isn't in love with Jesus and doesn't love Jesus and they're not a Christian. You got no business doing that. Because if you are, you're going to have problems. It's not if you're going to. You can get your calendar out and you can mark down problem. Women, get somebody that's going to be nice to you. And treat you good. Because there ain't nothing worse than being married to somebody that they're mean to you all the time and they belittle you all the time. Me too. Me too. And men, you cannot call your wife out on every dumb thing that they do. Because I got news for you. That won't go good for you. And for some of you men, if that's how you wanted to be, that's all you'd ever do. But there is a certain order that God has. And I'm going to tell you, men, look at Joseph. Because something tells me that he was an incredibly sweet, precious man. Because most men in his situation would have blasted the heck out of her. In that era, in this era, in every era on the planet. And he didn't. One time I bought a car off of the showroom floor. And I bought it in a rebellious mood. Those are always the worst decisions. And the salesman asked me one question. And it set me off. And here's what I don't like. When I go to buy a car and I'm with any man, I want them to talk to me. I don't know. I'm a jerk. Call me whatever you want, but it is what it is. Because I was the one buying the car. And the sales guy looked at my husband at that time and they said, well, what does your husband think about this car? And that just set me off. Because I thought, I'm the one buying this car. I don't care what he thinks. And so I bought that car. Let me explain something to you. Women, get somebody that you love so much that you want them to be who they're supposed to be in the family. Because when you really love your husband, you're going to let them lead you. And if you didn't pick an idiot, you're going to be happy. Most of the time. I was driving down the interstate in this car that I made out of a rebellious situation. This was like eons ago. And that thing basically blew up with me in it. And I lost all control of the vehicle. And it stopped on the interstate. And I had a moment with Jesus. And I said, God, if you get me out of this, I'm going to consider what my husband has to say about these major decisions. I don't want to come in here and preach to you a bunch of gibberish that you're not going to use. I want to give you things that you're going to use. No, I'm not going to look like every pastor, and I'm not going to talk like every pastor, and I'm not going to be like every pastor, but you're going to darn well know what life's about when you walk through the door, out the door, all the things. One of the most important decisions you will ever make in your life is who the heck you're going to marry. They can either help you in your ministry or they can be your only ministry. And that is the truth. And I can tell you there isn't anybody in our ministry that works harder in the food ministry than Frank Sprick. That is the absolute truth. I don't even work harder than him in it. But here Joseph is. See, what did the Word just tell us? Love covers over a multitude of sins. Now, Mary didn't sin, but he was willing to cover it up. He was willing to not disgrace her. There's a lot to be said about that type of a person. What do you care most about? Do you care about everybody knowing everybody's dirty deeds? Here's what I've learned about people that are like that. They have a lot of them themselves. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Isn't it funny? After he prayed, after he considered what was going on, God sent the confirmation. God will always confirm what he told you. He'll always confirm to you and validate to you, okay, this is good for you. Do this. He'll send a confirmation. He'll send a validation. If you don't get it, you're probably out of his will. Sent an angel, and he said, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. What is conceived inside of her is from the Holy Spirit. Now imagine being in those shoes. God, you trust me enough to raise your son? See, each one of you, God has given you something in life to do. And he trusts you enough to give you that calling. Don't sit on your butt for the rest of your life and not do it. Do it. Do it. Imagine being Mary and being pregnant. There's times where God's will is going to be the scariest place for you. At those times, that's also the safest place for you. It's also the safest place for you. If God's got you in a season where you feel like you're doing his will, but you're intimidated by it, let me tell you something. Let all that intimidation fall right to the ground. If you're in his will, there's nothing for you to be intimidated by. He's got you 100%. Let every reservation fall. There's people that they're never going to understand what's going on with you, and they're going to judge you off of what they don't understand. And you don't have time to address every single person that doesn't understand the will of God in your life. I'm going to say that one more time for somebody. You don't have time to address every single person that doesn't understand the will of God in your life. She She will give birth to a son, and you, this is the angel talking to Joseph. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. We read a verse a few moments ago that says, love covers over a multitude of sins. Let's read this part of this verse one more time. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Love covers over a multitude of sins. The very reason Joseph was put in the situation that he was put in was to bring a Savior to this world to save people from their sins. And I will always remind you that when we get self-righteous and we get all judgy and we think that we're so much better, love covers over a multitude of sins. We all have the people in our lives. I want to speak to that person because I've been you for most of this year and God has had to get a hold of me on this. Many times there are people in our life that we love so much, and when they do something and they disappoint us, we are so disappointed and we are so devastated because they've done some things that they've done, and the things are wrong. And what the devil wants to do is he wants to get you so mad where you'll just stop praying for them, and you'll just want to give them the silent treatment. You'll want to just disgust them and hate them and be irritated at them. But I'm going to tell you something. God needs you in their life more than he ever has before. God needs you to not be mad at them. God needs you to not be disgusted at them. God needs you to stop judging them, and he needs you to just say, hey, let me put myself in their spot for just a moment. I have been so irritated and so aggravated and so hurt by somebody this year. I have felt every emotion I think that the human heart can really feel. And by December, here's where I'm sitting on that. God, I'm done being mad at them. I'm done being disgusted with them. I'm done judging them because, God, I have certainly done some things myself. God, put me in their shoes and help me to understand what they were feeling when they made those decisions and what led them to that point in their life. Because you know what? There's something about empathy and in putting yourself in someone else's spot. You can pray for them a lot better. You can pray for them a lot better. You don't have to expose everybody for all the dirty, rotten things that they've done. They'll probably expose themselves. And most of them will just get on Facebook and they'll just make a PSA, okay? A public service announcement. That angel told Joseph, you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 11. Philippians chapter 2. I read this last week. this describes Jesus Christ. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, or because of that, God, not anybody else, but God, exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every single name. God the Father gave him the name above every single name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. What does under the earth mean? Every demon in hell. There's a day coming that they're going to confess also. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But I will point you back to verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That same name, go back to Matthew chapter 1, where the angel was talking with Joseph, and he said, you, Joseph, are to give him the name Jesus. Joseph is one of the most looked over people on Christmas. God gave Jesus the name above every name, that at his name every knee would bow, every tongue would confess. And he sent an angel to a precious man named Joseph to be a father to Jesus. And he said, Joseph, give him the name Jesus. You know how many times Joseph probably looked and felt looked over? Put yourself in his spot. Put yourself in his shoes. There are so many times where you're in your daily life and you just feel like nobody sees you. Nobody knows what you're going through. Your life isn't a big deal. Your calling isn't real glamorous. Nothing is real important about you. Joseph was a regular dude. He was just a normal guy. And God chose him. God chose him. Every one of you is chosen. Every one of you is called. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to finish this up. And you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And Joseph gave him the name Jesus. What is life all about? Living out your salvation, working it out. But it's also, life is summed up so many times in your ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes and to try to understand where they're at. There are people in your life and in your families and on your job and all of the things that you could be having a hard time with right now. Maybe you don't understand them. You've been agitated. There's been whatever there's been. But can you put yourself in someone else's shoes and see where they are? That person needs you to be able to do that. Brother Larry, unfortunately, the people in our life that we love the most, their whole life is depending on whether or not we can put ourselves in their shoes. And just say, God, give me wisdom on how to deal with the people that I don't understand. Y'all stand to your feet this morning. You know, I've walked around in these shoes almost my whole sermon, and here's what I can tell you about being in somebody else's shoes. They won't fit you. You won't wear them forever. But sometimes, in order to do your best praying and your best interceding for someone that you really, really love, sometimes you need to be able to understand some things about them. And only God can give you that wisdom. God doesn't need you frustrated at them. He doesn't need you mad at them. And He certainly doesn't need you giving them the silent treatment. When you feel like giving them the silent treatment, it's because you're exhausted by them and you don't know what to say to them anymore. But I promise you, God will give you words. Lord, in Jesus' name, all over the place. God, you know who this word has hit right in the heart. Lord, you know in the areas where we need to live this sermon out. God, right now, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person. God, I ask that you give us opportunity. I'm going to tell you, God is going to give some people in here some opportunity to live this out. God, I thank you for the opportunity. Lord, where we want to walk and operate in the flesh in these opportunities, God, I ask that you would pour out the anointing on those divine appointments right now in Jesus' name. God, I ask that you'd put your hand on our mouth and, Lord, put the words right in our mouth. God, I ask that you would reach what we would call the unreachable. Lord, the people that we think are too far gone and they're too into it. God, I thank you that you're drawing them right now. God, even as I pray this prayer, in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.